And the after the Kerat the Kerat Pasuk says, Vatitach Haspia, the earth opened up its mouth. Vatitivla'oi Summit swallowed them up, the Eskerach of the Moiso Eda, when the assembly died. Ba'achoil Ho'esh, when the fire ate Ace Hamishim, Umasayim Ish, 250 men, Vayihiyu Lenes. This was a miracle. It's a very verbose Pasuk, there are many expressions. It's a very interesting concept that Chazal say, Divrei Torah Ashirim. You would think that all of the details...
Can you please make it a little louder?
A little bit louder. So why is this volume... Let me figure out. I don't know why is it not loud. One second. Let me see what's going on here. Why is the volume not loud? One second. There's something wrong. There's no reason why the volume should not be loud. I don't know what's going on here. One second. Let's see what's going on here in my settings preferences. Oh no. Audio settings. The volume is all the way up. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'll just talk a little bit louder. Can you hear me now? Yeah, Blaze, you can hear me? Okay, Mayor, maybe, I don't know, maybe you should raise the, I don't know, let's try it. If you can't hear me, Blaze, you're in charge.
I can hear you, but,
slow? Blaze says that he can hear me perfectly.
I hear you good. Mr. Rappaport,
can you hear me?
Okay,
Mr. Rappaport.
I'll put my ear to the phone.
No, Rabbi, raise the volume on your phone.
You're not only loud, Rabbi, you're too loud.
I'm too loud, so Mayor, this is only your phone. Mayor, are you on another chat? Many times on the smartphone, if you're on WhatsApp. So you know what, reboot your phone.
All my apps.
Reboot your phone or close all your apps and maybe then it'll be loud. They're telling me that it's loud. Okay, let's go. So let's start over here. It says over here in the Pasuk. It says here in the Pasuk regarding Korach. Gotta get back on the screen. We have a principle in Halacha. And the principle is that Divrei Torah anim b'mokim echad v'ashidim b'mokim acher. The words of Torah poor in one location and rich in another location. Now let's give you some background. Many times when you let's say you're learning Masechta Erevin. I don't know Shas, I don't know too much Gemara, but this is just an abstract example. Let's say you're learning Masechta Erevin. So Masechta Erevin, you expect to learn about all of the laws of Erevin. All the laws and their basic principles, you know, what's called the Alechi, Akira, Machitza, Erev Chatzeros, Shetiv Mevois, the whole Mishnayis. There's the whole Masechta, You know what happens many times? One of the Iker Yesoidos that captures the whole Masechta or a major concept of the Masechta is not even found in Masechta Erevin. You'll discover it in Masechta Soita. I'm just giving you a make-believe example. When you're learning Masechta Soita and you would expect to find all of the principles that you need to know about this, about what is a Soita, what are all the laws, it's not even there. It's found in Masechta Nazir. You want to go learn about Shabbos? You're going to find a critical element, ingredient of understanding what is the essence of Shabbos. Not in this Masechta. You'll find it in Masechta Moed Katan. Okay, I'm making up things now, but this principle is very, very true. It's a very true principle that more often than not, some of the most important principles that you need to understand a given a topic that you're learning are not to be found in the obvious place to look. You have to search.
Why is that?
It's by design. Chazal did it by design in order to cause you to master the entire Shas. I don't know why. There must be a reason. And there are many examples of this principle in Chumash. If you want to know about Korach, tell me all about Korach. All of the Rabbanim, they give big drash about Korach. What's Korach? What did he do? Did he not do? What happened? There are psukim all over the Torah coming back and telling you about Korach. And some of the psukim that it says in other parashos lay out principles, concepts that are even more powerful, more penetrating than what it says in Parashas Korach itself. Here we are, we're learning Parashas Pinchas. And in Parashas Pinchas, we're learning about a pasuk. Torah doesn't need to tell you this. We're doing here the Yichus. We're making a census. We want to count how many Jews there are in the desert. So we go through Mishbnei Reuven. Now we go to Shimon. Now we go to Levi. Oh! We go to Levi. Here we go. Vnei Falu. We're Elam Mishpachos Haruveni. We Fukudehem. Vnei Falu. Now we get over here. I forgot the whole Cheshuv. Up to Korach. Oh, Korach! He's one of the three sons. And when we mention one of the three sons, what does he do? What does the Torah do? It gives you a whole apostate that's totally unnecessary. This is not Parashas Korach. If you were writing the Torah, you would not put this pasuk over here. You would not say, oh, vatiftach oritz espia, vativla oisam yes korach b'moso eida, v'achoyl ho'eish, eis chanishim mosayim ish v'ayiyulun eis. Excuse me, this is not the topic of discussion here. You're going off on a tangent. Over here, just give me the numbers. I'm an accountant. I want to go home. I want to eat dinner. I'm not interested in hearing your whole life story. Tell me the numbers. I want to do your tax return. I got to file it by 12 o'clock at night. Give me the numbers. How many people you got here? What are you? I don't know. Oh, sit down. Let me tell you about Dosan Va'avidam, the Kiriyeho Eidrash, Hitzu al Moshe v'al Aaron, Ba'adasrech, Akoyrach, Va'tiftach Ozespia. All of these Nuschois, Va'tivla Oysam, V'yaskorach, the Eidadois, the fire ate them up. What's going on over here? In fact, some of the things that it says in this pasuk are more important to reveal what exactly happened in the story of Korach than what it says in the parash of Korach itself. L'kayim ha'shenemar, divrei toira, aniyim b'mokim echod, v'ashidim b'mokim acher. In parashas Korach, if you learn parashas Korach, you'll never figure out what really happened. You have to learn Parashas Pinchas. And there are other Parashas. I don't remember. I don't know. I think it's four places in the Torah. It talks about all of the gory details of what happened. Okay, so here we are. Here we read the Pasuk. And let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud tells us, one Rashi. Vayiyu l'neis l'ois u'lezikaroin. Rashi translates the word neis. I translate it as a miracle. It was a supernatural event that occurred that he was swallowed up. Rashi says, does not say, he says it was an os and a zikaroin, a sign and a remembrance. Leman asher lo yikrav ifzor lachloik oid al hakahuna, a nes. It was like, what does a nes in this context mean? It was a flag. It was a flag, it was a banner. It was a reminder, a permanent reminder to the Jewish people, do not overstep your bounds. The only one that are Kohanim, Levim are not Kohanim, Yisraelim not Kohanim, the Melech has no business offering Ketores. This was the cardinal mistake of Yoash when he offered Ketores in the time of Uzziah, and that was the beginning of the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. From there on in, everything went downhill. There was an earthquake, the Rash, everything was calculated from that moment in time. That was a watershed moment in Jewish history when there was a breach in the checks and balances, if you want to use that term, or I mean that's really a term. There was a breach in the checks. There, Klal Yisrael has a system of checks and balances. The Constitution was taken from the Torah. There are different branches of government in Klal Yisrael. There's the Kohuna, there's Malchus, there are Levim, there are Yisraelim, and there are men, there are women, and each one has their role. And there is no. There is no way for a person to cross over. What a man does, a woman cannot do. What a woman does, the man cannot do. There are hard lines of division for a reason. And a Kohen cannot be a Levi. A Levi cannot be a Kohen. Not everyone is entitled to go into the Kodesh HaKodesh by Yom Kippurim. Not everyone is entitled to be Makhtar Ketores. In America, that's not the way it is. In America, we live in a country in America where anyone can be the president of the United States. Anyone. And I mean anyone. And now we're living in a society where Eved Yimloch. Okay? I mean who's in charge here? Today, you know, it used to be African Americans, you know, the equal. No, you're not allowed to say that. If you say that an African American is equal, then you get fired. You have to say that white is inherently racist. This is the mahus of a white. It's crazy. There are no boundaries. There's no something called a male, a female. There's nothing called a mother, a father. There's no boundaries. In the Torah, there are very strict boundaries. And the mice of Korach was a reminder. It was a permanent flag. There are boundaries not to be crossed. Vayu l'nes l'ois u'lezikaron l'man asher lo yikrav ish zar. You don't belong here. Lachloik. Now, if Rashi is coming, this pasuk made so many comments, And if Rashi only wanted to nitpick on one single word in the pasuk l'neis, you can be certain that Rashi, he read the Targum, and Rashi felt that the Targum has done justice to this pasuk, with one exception. The Targum made a mistake. We have to work backwards. If Rashi, there are so many different things that could have been said over here, and if Rashi only wanted to comment on one pasuk and one expression, you can be certain that Rashi was very pleased with everything the Targum said. There was only one part of the pasuk that disturbed Rashi for him to make this comment. Now that we know the secret, and we have to go and see exactly what bothered Rashi. Pasuk Yud in the Targum. Targum says, Ufesachas ara yos puma, the earth opened up its mouth, uvila'as, it swallowed yosayin, then yos koirach, and it swallowed them, and it swallowed koirach. Who is them? We're referring over here to doson va'aviram, okay, the troublemakers. It swallowed them, yos koirach, b'moysa, d'chnishta, it swallowed, or a little place over here, v'yes karach, b'moso eda, b'moso d'chnishta, when the assembly died, then it says, kad when achalas ishasa, when the fire ate up, yos mosan v'chamshin guvrin, 250 men, v'havo, it was le'os, it was a sign. So Rashi is very, it seems that Rashi is very happy. Rashi is just coming to explain when the Targum said le'os, a sign, Rashi says, excellent. Lo'ois ulazikaroin. Rashi is just coming to elaborate. You're right, Targum. Here, you got it right. Congratulations. He says the exact same thing, lo'ois, but he adds, ulazikaroin, a remembrance. Lamana shalo yikrav izor lachlik oral kohuna. Rashi is coming to elaborate just a bit over here. Now, let's see what it says over in the Ma'at Tzori. Our commentator.
What is the word Lizikaron?
I remember it. Oh, so what is it called? So let's take a look over here and see what. Let's first see what the Ma'at Sari says. Maybe we'll find an answer. La'os. The Ma'at Sari says, Kos v'aksav v'hakabalah. It's the name of the Sefer. Iker harash shem neis hu ois v'simon. Exactly what it says. The Iker name of the word neis means a sign, a flag. A flag. V'tamokan oi. And the reason here, I don't know, let's see, Onesh Hanifla Hanase Ba'adas Karach, the punishment, the wondrous punishment that happened by the assembly of Karach, who is an os v'siman l'chol hamam rebo yismach. Anyone that comes to rebel against Hashem, the sign, the zecher, the event that comes to put them in their place is the event of Karach. The uncle is the loikim malbim sheperash neis shatzolas b'nei korach choisa neis godol. Because obviously that this and I translated the pasuk. I said that neis means a miracle, and he said, "Where's the miracle? Where is the choisel?" So he is the malbim. Okay, we don't have the malbim in front of us, but over here the Ma'atzori is telling us a fascinating shot in the pasuk that it doesn't even say the children ikach chosam in a sefer. Vayihyu l'neis means, even though it happened, that the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed Korach, and when the Eidu died, and there were 250 people, among the people that were swallowed were the children of Korach. But vayihyu l'neis, it's not, l'neis is going, it's leading into the next pasuk. Uvnei Korach lo imesu. Now, this is a very interesting idea, which you really have more of this in Nach. You don't have, so we haven't come across this in a very long time. We learn very slowly in the morning, so it's not for nothing. But when we learned Yeshaya, Yecheskel, I don't remember the Sfarim, we had this principle where the end of one pasuk is a lead in to the next pasuk. And this is a great example according to the Malbim. According to the Malbim, even though the Mesorah is Vayihyu l'neis, Soif Pasuk, if the Baal Kriya does not stop here, indicate in his melody that this is the end of the Pasuk, he has to be corrected. Today, unfortunately, we don't correct the Baal Kriya for this. But really, this is the worst thing a Baal Kriya can do, besides not reading the words correctly. After he reads the words correctly, the next worst thing he can do is not to stop at the end of a pasuk. He makes it into a run-on sentence. Vayilu neitzav mekerach lemesu, that's wrong. The melody must indicate the pasuk ends here. If he doesn't sing the melody, lezerach, he doesn't do b'nei shemoin, lemishbechoysam, if he doesn't do the melody, no. So he missed the drop. I never saw someone correct the Baal Kriya for missing the drop. And unfortunately, I almost never saw, very rarely do you see the Baal Kriya being corrected for not stopping at the end of the pasuk, and he just lets the pasuk go on into the next pasuk. But that's a cardinal error, not to stop at the end of the pasuk. Yet, although that is critical, this pasuk over here, it leads in. Vayihiyu l'neis, what was the miracle? The miracle was, uvnei korach l'neisu. That was the miracle. What happened to them? They stood, a platform emerged somewhere down below, and they were able to grab or hold on to it, and it prevented them from falling all the way into the bottom of the earth. And they on that they composed the Mizmar, Lamnatzeach Livnei Koirach Mizmar, which we recite on Yom on Rosh Hashanah, right before the blowing of the shofar. So we have to remember, in Yirtz Hashem, on this Rosh Hashanah, Habo Aleinu L'Toyva, when you come to the pasuk, by this pasuk, Ba'achoylo Ish Ish Chamish Musayim Ish, really, to according to the Malbum, the pasuk really ends Ish, and then when it says Vayihiyu L'Neis, this is the beginning of the next pasuk. Vayihiyu L'Neis, what was then? What was the miracle? The miracle was uvnei korach lo mesu. Incredible pshat. Oh, but there's a safe pasuk. The Malbum no way can suggest that he had a different mesorah, that the pasuk ends ish, and now the pasuk begins vayu l'neisu v'korach l'meisu. No way. The Malbum is too recent for him to have say such a thing. If a Rishon would say such a thing, maybe you can say that the Rishon had a different mesorah where the pasuk ends. But when it comes to the Malbum, who only lived not that long ago, there's no way you can say that. Yet, there is precedence for this. There are examples of such a principle that the style of writing a pasuk in Tanakh allows itself to be understood this way, where the end of a pasuk is a lead-in to the next pasuk. And according to this interpretation, when it says the word nes means a miracle. Like what we are familiar with on Pesach, Nisim v'Niflois. Rashi and Onkelis reject this interpretation. Rashi and Onkelis put a very hard break after the words Vayihiyu L'Neis. Period. Don't connect. The next pasuk says Uvnei Korach L'Meisu. How do they survive? We don't know how they survived. Maybe someone threw them a rope. Maybe there was some type of platform on the ground. If Chazal tell us that it was a miracle, we have a tradition, we believe it's Torah Shebaal Peh. But it's not Torah Shebechsav that it was a miracle. It's not Torah Shebechsav according to Rashi and Onkelis. It's Torah Shebaal Peh, if it was a miracle. I'm not even sure it says it was a miracle according to them. Was it not? If it was, it was not. Even if it was, it's not in the pasuk. Oh, but it says Vayulanes. Yeah, Vayulanes is part of the end of the previous part, which is telling us that this, it's a whole different interpretation. This event that happened, that the earth opened up and swallowed Korach, Dosan Va'avidim, 250 people, it was for all of us, a Zecher for all generations. In Os, V'zikaron, don't challenge the rabbi. Don't overstep your bounds. Matan Torah, there was Hagbalah. There are many, many interpretations as to the significance of Hagbalah, but the most basic interpretation is a person should know his place. There's a Kohen, there's a Levi, there's a Yisrael, there's a male, there's a female, there is a Grusha, a Chalutza, there are Nesinim, there are Mamzerim, Avodim, Gerim, and every single one of these creatures has their time and place, and may not overstep their bounds. And this story of Korach is an Os v'Zikaron. This is what it says in the Targum, and Rashi was very pleased with the Targum, Yashukoyach Rabbeinu Unkelus, Yashukoyach to you that you did not fall into the trap of the Malbim. The Malbim would,
actually says, Rabbi Levine,
yeah,
that there were two nests here. There were two. I have the Malbim in front of me.
Okay.
And what it says, Vayiyu l'nes, this is the words of the Malbim. Beseper shahoya b'zeh oid nes, Shabinei Karach Loy Mesu Shem Nitzala Begamze Hoya Nes Godel Wizero Kulam Esmasi Hashem Agodel Lahamet Lachio. So he says there were two nests. One was the first one that Hashem made
the earth open up its mouth.
Fire. Yeah. Kedel Hagdol Nes Hoya Tzorbeze Kedel Chazik Amuna. That's the first part of the
okay.
Pasuk. And then by Yul Nes,
it's also interpreting it into the next pasuk that they did not die. Excellent.
It's an S. That's a second S.
Second ace, but it leads in, right? Okay, so it leads into the second pasuk, right? But what is the common denominator of both of those? It's the translation of the word means a miracle, according to Rashi and Unkelus. Wrong. It's not. We're not discussing miracles. We are discussing practical things in this world. This story of Korach, what happened to them, serves to us as a sign. As a reminder, there's a lesson. Rashi is much more satisfying than Unkelus in this room, than the Malbim, because the Torah, when the Torah talks about miracles, it gets very, very impractical. Torah is a guide for us. It's Torah means instruction. When you start telling a person about miracles, they tune off. They tune out. They tune out. Okay, miracles. You want me to go miracles? I'll go to a movie. I'll go to Hollywood. I'll go watch I'll read a novel. I'll read about fairy tales. Torah is not a fairy tale book. When you're going to start talking about miracles, yeah, okay, I have emunah. I believe, I fully believe in miracles. That whatever it says in the Torah is emes. These miracles occurred. But it's not relevant for me. Because we don't live in a world of miracles. I don't know about you, but I don't see miracles happening around open miracles. I don't see. So, yeah, I believe years ago, it was a different world, different time, different people, different hashgacha, there were miracles. But it's not relevant for me. Rashi says, that's right, let's use the Torah as a practical guide for us. This story is a ois v'zikaron. It is a lesson that is practical and relevant today as it was then. Don't krech where you don't belong. Okay, my mother always used to tell that to me. Don't krech where you don't belong. Stay away from trouble. This is not your place. Mind your own business. You're a czar? What are you doing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? What are you doing bringing guitarists? Don't krech where you don't belong. That's a very relevant lesson for us. Rashi is coming to save us from ourselves, who always have this tendency to go and make mystical things out of nothing. Be practical. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk. Now we have to go very. Now we have, here we don't have too much targum over here. We just have basically have some blues. So let's just run through it very, very quickly over here. We're up over here, Pasuk Yud Alf. V'nekerach lemesu, atchum li'ulup sogmogim, v'nei shimon l'mishchos l'nmuel, mishpachas ha'nmueli, yalul l'amid, mishachas ha'imid, l'yachin, mishachas ha'yachini, l'zerach, shachas ha'yachin, over here we go down, ul nisokim, e'i l'mishchos ha'shemoni, t'shtayim v'yeshem el v'masoyim, v'nei gara l'mishchos ha'yisam, l'sfem mishpachas ha'sfanid, l'chagim, mishachas ha'chagil, shmi l'mishachas ha'shmi, l'ozni, mishachas l'ozni, l'eiri, mishpachas k'laroid, mishpachas ha'roidi, l'areili, mishpachas ha'roidi, e'i l'mishpachas v'nei gara l'fkudihem, am el 40,000, v'yehuda, oh, now we're coming to a new story, Erva Anan. Vayomas Erva Anan, we'll get to that one moment, in the middle of the passage. Well, let's see what see over here, some of the Rashis. Let's see what Rashi over here says over here. Rashi, we're up to Rashi. Have a lot of Rashis here. See, I should have gone through this so quickly. Let's enlarge this. I hope you can see this. Okay, we're up to over here with Bnei Korach Lemesu. Bnei Korach did not die. Heim Hoyu Be'etza Techila. An amazing Rashi. How does Rashi know this? That the Bnei Korach were part of the original evil plan to overthrow Jewish leadership. Uveshas machloikis hirharu teshuva b'libam l'fichach nispatzer lohem mokom gavoa b'gehenem v'yashvu shan. Okay, this is a quote from the Masechta, from the Gemara's Sanhedrin, which obviously has great depth, which I have no idea what all the details, but Rashi here says this incredible idea. Obviously, Rashi has a source for everything. They were part of the original plan to overthrow Moshe, and during the Machlokes, they were Maharher. It's very important, this Rashi. It does not say they acted. Ordinarily, when a person, let's say a person is involved in corruption in the United States of America, okay, he's part of an evil, sinister plot to overthrow the government. He's trying to, a globalist, trying to make trouble, steal the election, who knows what they're trying to do, in collaboration with the Chinese. And things are doing very well. He's proceeding to achieve his goal. And then all of a sudden, when things get really heated, he's maharer. You know something? I regret what I've done. And then the very last minute, the police come, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, they chap him. You're under arrest for treason, espionage, for who knows what. They go in front of the judge. And they say to the judge, Judge, Your Honor, when things were really spiraling out of control, we were maharer b'shuva. We had thoughts that, we made a mistake. The judge will say, I couldn't care less what you're thinking. Your fingerprints are all over the place. You're involved. Don't go tell me when this whole thing was unraveling, you had a machshava in your mind, maybe we shouldn't have committed this crime. Nonsense. You're done. Treason. The treason is the death penalty for treason in the United States. Treason. You're finished. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a different playbook, a different set of rules. It's an incredible Rashi. It says, Uvashas Machlekes Hir Haru, a thought of teshuva b'libam, lefichach, therefore, Hashem did something for them. Now, these words have to be really understood very detailed. Nispatzer. What does it mean, the word nispatzer? I don't know what it means exactly. It means it was collected. The word nispatzer has a connotation. There was a collection, like a fundraiser. Make a collection of money. Nispatzer lohem mokoim govoah. Lakewood, Bet Medresh Gavoah. Lakewood is called Bet Medresh Gavoah. Is this why it's called Gavoah? Begehenim? Okay? Why is it called Bet Medresh Gavoah? Because of this Rashi. Gavoah Begehenim. I told you once, Lakewood is just like Gehenim. Eventually, everyone ends up there. That's supposed to be a joke. It was collected from the place in Gehenna, the Yoshu Sham, and they sat there.
Can we quote you on that, Rabbi?
What?
Can we quote you on that?
It's not my line.
Welcome Gavoa.
Welcome Gavoa. It's a Malcolm Gavoa Begehenna.
I know.
Bet Medresh Gavoa. Gavoa. Okay. The joke is a good joke, though. The joke is a good joke. Okay, v'yashu sham, they sat over there. Okay, lezerach, who's zerach, who's tzoychar? Zerach is tzoychar. Now, where does tzoychar? The tzoychar appear in this pasuk? Pasuk Yud Gimel, we have tzoychar. Lezerach, mishpachas hazarchi. So he says over here, I guess maybe he appears in another pasuk, somewhere else in Chumash. Who tzoychar? I guess tzoychar appears, I don't know, in another parsha. I didn't do my homework here today. But in another parasha, we must have the word, a name called Tzoychar. And Rashi is telling us, Tzoychar and Zerach are one and the same. Zerach is L'shoin Tzoychar. Tzoychar tase la teva. Make a Tzoychar for the teva. It means, what is a Tzoychar, by the way, in the teva? What is a Tzoychar? It's a machlokes in Rashi. Rashi says either it means a window that light should enter, or it means a precious stone that absorbs light and it glows in the dark for a very, very long period of time. So there are two perushim as tsoihar ta'ase lateva, either a window or a stone that it can provide illumination. What is the common denominator? An English word. Give me an English word that captures the common denominator of both translations of the Tzara of the Teva. A floodlight. Like that joke? That joke is older than the Mabul itself. A Tzoyar is a floodlight. A floodlight. In the Teva, there was a Tzoyar. Avol Mishpachas Ohad Batla. So Zerach is the same as Tzohar. Because Zerach means to shine. Tzohar means illumination. Avol Mishpachas Ohad. I'm assuming that back in Chumash Bereshis, I didn't look it up, there's a Mishpacha there in this family called Ohad. It no longer exists. V'chein Chomesh Mishev Binyamin. There were five Shavatim from Binyamin. Sharei Basara Bonim Yerad LeMitzrayim. We know that Binyamin had 10 sons. And in fact, Rashi, there's a Balaturim, there's a Chazal, that Binyamin, he named all 10 sons after Yosef. Binyamin had pain that he never met his brother Yosef, so he named all 10 sons after Yosef with different names. They went down with 10 sons. V'kan le'mone el'chamisha. What happened to the other five? They disappeared. V'chein Itzavoin Lugod Hare Sheva Mishpachos. Likewise, Itzavon also disappeared. That means seven families are missing. Umatzasi Bigmoras Yushalmis, Talmud Yushalmi, Shekishemes Aroin, Nistalko Nani Hakavot, Uva Hakananim, Lilochim Yisrael. They were terrified and they decided to return to Egypt. What are you talking about? Aaron did not die in Bnei Yaakon. Yaakov died in V'halo B'horahor Meis. Umi Mosera ad Horahar is Shmoyne Masois. Shmoyne Masois, Yesh, Lamafre is backwards. Ella, the answer is Shechazu Lachareim, that when Aaron died in Horahar, and the Jewish people were terrified. Now they're vulnerable. So they decided, let's go back to Egypt. And they went back 8 Masois. V'rod v'bnei Levi achareim lachaziram, and there was a civil war. And Bnei Levi chased after the people. They chased after them. You better get back. Don't go back. Vahargu mehem and Bnei Levi. There was a civil war. They killed Sheva Mishpachos. Bnei Levi. And in this war, Naflu Arba Mishpachos. Levi in this war lost 4 Mishpachos. Mishpacha Shimi Ve'uzi'eli. And then he goes on to say, their children, only Mishpacha Sakorchi, the Harviyas Loyodati Mahi, I do not know what they are. So he's saying there were 4 tribes from Levi that were lost. Who are the 4 tribes from Levi? We know that Shimi was lost in Uzeli, and Yitzar. Also, because we don't mention over here the children of Yitzhar, which is Zerach, that also got lost. Ela Mishpachas HaKorchi. Now, which was the next family? That was Ravias Lo Yadati Mahi. Okay, Rabbi Chuma Darash, Shemesu B'Mageifa, they died B'Dvar Bilam, they died B'Mageifa through Bilam, Avalofi HaChisarin Shechosa B'Shevet Shimon B'Minin Zeh, Minarishan Shemidvar Sinai Nira Shekol Chavdal Elof Naflu B'Shevet Shimon. It's not so simple to say that, because it would seem that all of the 24,000 people who died were not from Sheva Levi. They were from Sheva Shiftoi Shel Shimon. Okay, so we have over here, this Rashi is really a really amazing Rashi. Rashi is teaching us over here that there were really originally 7 more families in the Jewish people, which means that we learned together on Monday. This number, which really is haunting me the whole week, there are 44 families listed in Parshas Pinchas. When we talk about Klal Yisrael, we always talk about 12 tribes. But there's another number that no one talks about, and that's the number 44. And Rashi is telling us that's not really the number. The real number was originally 51. There were 7 more. to bring it to a total of 51. And the 51 families of the Jewish people, 7 of them are gone. Why are they gone? Because when Klal Yisrael went backwards, after Aaron died, they were terrified. They went back 8 Masois, and Bnei Levi was furious. How dare you? What are you doing? What's going on? And a civil war broke out. And in this civil war, 7 tribes died, were extinct. Their families came to a complete end. And who are these 5? So he tells us, 5 from Sheva Binyamin. Okay, he says we have over here with Zerach, Av Ohad is bottle, that's 1, and Binyamin is bottle, and then 5 of Binyamin is bottle, and El Tzafain and El Tzafain Lagad, that's 7. Now, maybe there's even more. Maybe I'm making goodness into 7. And then he goes on to say there's even more that was bottle. That's 7. He says from Levi. Okay, I made a mistake. There's no more than 7. That's 7. Then he goes on to say, 7, exactly. And then when Levi Nafl Arba Mishpachas, so we have 7 plus another 4. So we have really 11. So we have 11 that really makes the total 55. Not like I told you 51, 55. The real number of families that were present in Klal Yisrael were 55 families. 11 of them ceased to exist in the civil war that occurred after the death of Aaron HaKohen. It's a very frightening thing. And then he goes on to say that he makes the other calculation that it would, the 4 that are missing are from Levi. And he says, which 4 are missing from Levi? So he makes the calculation. Levi, Nafal Arba Mishpachas. Who are the 4 Mishpachas? Shimi, the Uzi Eli are missing. And Yitzhar also is missing. Yitzhar is missing. No. See, this Rashi is coming to disagree with the previous Rashi. Yitzhar is here, is Zerach, but only Ella Mishpachas HaKorchi. And that means there is more. I don't know what this means here. I didn't do my homework. There's something else missing from Yitzhar. And the 4th one I do not know. Rabbi Tanhuma says it was part of Shevet Shimon. Shemes Magevim Bedvar Bilam. The 4th family died not just because the 4th family of Levi that died was not in the civil war. They died in the Magefa that happened in the aftermath of Bilam. But he says that does not seem to be correct because the people who died in the aftermath of the Magefa of Bilam were only from Shevet Shimon. All right, whatever it is. La'ozni oimrani shezu mishpachas itzavoin ve'eni yodea lamolo nikres mishpachtei al Shimon. Now, isn't Rashi contradicting himself? He calls him Ozni, and he says this is of itzavoin, but Rashi over here said that itzavoin is not around. The chain itzavoin legod is missing. He's missing. And over here Rashi says, leozni is itzavoin. So what's going on? I have a stira. I don't know the answer. There appears here to be a stira, a contradiction. Okay, we're not going to do the Targum because the Targum really is included in, he doesn't explain anything on the side, so we'll leave that with. Now let's go to the next pasuk yutes. Let's go. We have another minute. We have 1 minute left. So let's learn just the pasuk very quickly. 1 minute. And here it says, Bnei Yehuda's Er ve'oinan. Vayamas Er ve'oinan. Er ve'oinan died by Eretz Kenan. Vayihu v'nei Yehuda l'mishpachosam l'sheila. Mishpachas ha-shilani l'feretz mishachas ha-partzid l'zeh l'mishachas zarchi. Okay, let's go see over here back in the Rashi. What does Rashi over here say? It says, no Rashi on this. What does Rashi over here say? No, there's no Rashi on this either. Chav Dalit. Okay, so let's just maybe say anything over here interesting in Unkelis. An Unkelis, let's see. Let me see if we have anything over here in Unkelis. Unkelis over here says, no, he's really very, he has very little parish over here. Okay, he goes through over here all the different names. What's the next Rashi? Liyashuv, it's a long Rashi. We're not going to have time to go through it now, so I'll have to stop over here now. All right, so that's it, Rabbi Sai. Thank you so much for coming to learn with me. Tomorrow's Thursday. So tomorrow we're going to continue our Shi'ur on Sidur. So we're up to I think Vlam Al Shinim, we did last already 2 weeks of Hashiva, Shavirik Varishani, Yasirik Vatrila, Melechayev Staka Mishpat, tomorrow we're up to Vlam Al Shinim Al Tehi Sekva. So Yirtz Hashem will pick up tomorrow, 7:15, with the Siddur, that bracha. Bracha number 12. Thank you again for coming. Have a good night. Be well.
You're welcome. Thank you. Heshi, how you doing? Heshi Bat, how you doing? Norman, they still got you in lockdown? No one's talking to me today.
I'm listening to you.
No, there's no lockdown here.
How you doing? How you doing, Norman? How are you? How have you been?
Baruch Hashem. It's just very hot up here also.
It's very hot. Yeah, it's very hot here. It's oppressively hot here in Brooklyn. Impressively.
So, are you allowed to come to the States?
I don't know. I had my shots, but I don't know if I'm allowed to come in.
They let you go out, but they won't let you come back.
Yeah.
All right, keep cool. Ashley, how are you doing?
Thank you.
Be well. Thank you for coming. Be well.
Heshi? Is that